But I have great expectation for God this evening, don't you? Really have an expectation. And as a young boy, I told this morning how my mom used to take me to all the different tent revivals and healing meetings and things like that. And she always would talk to me about what she observed God was doing. But also, I saw what God was doing. I saw incredible testimonies of people actually. They had baskets and people would vomit up cancers. Growths would just fall out of people's ears. All just incredible things where they would be transformed and healed immediately. Remember one meeting, a lady had 6 screws in her ankle. You could feel the screws just under the skin. You pull her skin tight, you could see the screws. And I remember we prayed for her. And when we finished praying, she had complete mobility in her foot. And there were 6 little screws on the side of her foot. Just on the outside, sitting there. I don't know how they got there, but she was healed. Just incredible things. And I've raised my kids sharing these things as well that I've observed. And I'm a proud father to say that all my children are serving God. They're all involved deeply in their church, and God is using them as well. And I was recently in Cape Town with Werner Badenhorst, and we were talking, and he was telling me the things he saw when he traveled with his parents while they were in ministry. And I had just spoken to his brother the week before, and his brother had told me the same things. They had had an indelible impression upon their life. And they've built lasting memories that some 20 years ago, they're still remembering these things. And what I've discovered is this: one of the most important things in our Christian walk, a component to sustain, a component to multiply life in your church, in your own life, that helps awaken God moving in your midst and through you, is testimonies. Testimonies, I believe, unlock heaven's resources. I'm just going to go through some scriptures and share them with you and share some stories. One, what I want to do is build faith in you to believe God that many people will be healed in this place tonight. And also then at the conclusion, we're going to have a time of impartation. Because this morning I shared where Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fan into flame the gift of God that has been given to you through the laying on of hands. So Deuteronomy 4:9, here's what it says. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Psalm 78, verse 1, starting there, it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your heart, your ears to my words, the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. God established a testimony in his people. And appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. What did the sons of Ephraim actually do? They had forgotten the testimonies of their father. They had forgotten what God had done. And Father, this evening, I just pray that through the power of your Spirit, that you will just enlighten us, that you will empower us, and as we yield to your Spirit, that you will transform us to the image of your very Son. We thank you, Father, that you did the same things through Jesus that you say you want to do through us. And we look forward to the testimonies that we will have to share. Bless us, I pray, this evening. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The power of testimony. Testimony sets a platform for God to do things again. I told about the couple, the Muslim couple that I met in London. And actually, the 2 hours I had with them, all I did was tell them testimonies of what I had observed God do. And it set a platform for God to repeat the action and heal her of her lung cancer. Testimonies are essential for us. And I want God to do things again, don't you? Amen. Psalms 44, verse 1 through 3 says, "We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." Revelations 19:10 tells us, "For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony of Jesus." I believe all of God's people are prophetic. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, "You're prophetic." And on the way over here this evening, I spoke a little bit to Jonathan. And Jonathan, I just want to say it publicly. Don't be so focused just on the local, because God has He's prepared you for an international stage. He's not like you, though. He told me he would go with me. But God's stage isn't just for the thousands, it's the multiple thousands. It's the multiple thousands. And you'll see the signs, you'll see the wonders, you'll see the things that you have yearned for and you've cried out to God for. And the hours of your praying before God, the Lord says, your prayers have risen to him as a sweet-smelling fragrance, and he's heard your prayers. In Revelations, it talks about the prayers of the saints rise to God like an incense, and then God's angelic hosts mix things with that, and then he flings the answer back to earth. I've wondered if what he mixes with our prayers going to the Father, is it not maybe the intercession that Jesus is making on our behalf? Because you see, when you intercede, you're actually praying till a breakthrough comes. And I believe God's heard Jonathan's prayers, and I believe be prepared within the next 2 years, you're going to see nations open up to you, and that your leader is going to come with you, because there will be an apostolic planting through him that he's going to have to oversee. I already told Greg earlier this morning that God wants to use him more in the supernatural. A releasing of the supernatural. You see, all these years of walking with God has prepared us for such a time as this. And you know, growing up, I saw some incredible things, but nothing, it pales with what I'm seeing now. See, God wants to do so much more through us. In Luke 6, verse 17 and 19, it says, "He went down with him and stood on a level place. And a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. This is before the woman who said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. What was transpiring? People were giving testimony by word of mouth to one another. The word was spreading through the land that if you just touch the hem of his garment, you'll be healed. This woman put her faith in what others had told her. She was classed as unclean. She couldn't even come into the presence of those who were clean. So she risked a lot to come in. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she was healed. And Jesus said, power went out from me. Who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, look around. All these people, they're all pushing in against you. Who could know who touched you? They're all touching you. And he says, no, I know there was one came and touched me because I felt power or virtue leave my body. And this woman, realizing that she couldn't get out of the situation, she came forward and she gave testimony that she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And what did Jesus respond? He said, woman, I haven't seen such great faith. Your faith has healed you. Go. You've been made whole. In Luke 8, verse 39, it's the man with a legion of demons. After Jesus cast them out, he says to him, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now that was before as well, the woman who came with the issue of blood. I love that. You see, what were they doing? They were giving testimony. They touched him. They told others what had transpired and happened to them. And by word of mouth, testimony was taking place. They didn't have any IT. They didn't have newspapers. But through word of mouth of testimony, the grand, glorious wonder of what Jesus did spread throughout the land. Just touch him. Just touch him, and you'll be made whole. I told an Anglican church, Greg was just there, I think it was the end of last year, wasn't it? About October? St. Paul's. February, okay. I was there in October, he was there in February. I knew he was coming. And I spoke to them about this, and I told them, you need to create a book of remembrance. I said, Mauritius is such a beautiful island. You could take beautiful photos and put testimonies of the miracles that have transpired and taken place, and your people can give them as coffee table books to people as gifts. And the testimony of what Jesus does will take place. Every Tuesday they have a healing meeting. And countless people are coming to Christ and being healed in those meetings. You see, testimonies do two things. One, testimonies reproduce themselves. And secondly, testimonies release faith. Now, as a young boy growing up, I remember every Sunday night was testimony night. But the testimonies, you didn't really hear of God doing much. It was just, pray for me that I'll hold on till the end. It was kind of a dismal thing, and you just kind of sat there thinking, gee, I hope this will get over quick. But Psalms 119:14, listen to what David says. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 24 of Psalm 119, it's a great, great chapter for testimonies. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You see, when Israel ceased to remember the things that God had done, that's when they intermingled and they took up with other gods and they moved away from God. It's when parents failed to teach their children what God had done and reminded them. And it's imperative that we, if you don't have children, that you purpose in your heart and your mind, that you tell your children what God has done. Now, I spent Christmas with my son in Boston. I have a Christmas grandson, my oldest grandson. And my son just spoke to me and he said, hey, why don't you just tell him what you do? and the countries you've been to and what you've seen God do. And as I just started sharing, he goes, are you telling me the truth? His mouth just dropped open because he couldn't fathom that God would do those things. But it changed him because my son said that his wife had been ill and he called his son and his son prayed for his wife and his wife got healed. What's he doing? He's creating his first testimony as well. Psalm 119 verse 46 says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and I'll not be ashamed. When the prime minister of Mauritius called me and says, won't you come and see me? I didn't know what to say because I thought, gee, this guy's a Hindu guy. But I'm going to talk to him about Jesus. That can't be Billy. He's in heaven. No, he's in heaven. But you know what? Since that first meeting and the second meeting and many other meetings I've had with them, now they're asking, what does God want with our island? And that island is so multicultural. It's over 55% Hindu. And I just told him, I believe God wants to transcend Muslims and Hindus and even Catholics and Protestant, he just wants to break in on this island and make it the pearl of the Indian Ocean with what he wants to do. And you know what he said? He goes, oh, I pray for that to happen. You see, you don't ever have to be ashamed of what Jesus has done. Psalms 119 verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimony are my meditation. What does that say? It's saying, hey, meditate on the things that God has done. How many of you have a testimony? God's healed you. Everybody should have a testimony. If you know Christ, you've come to Christ. You've got a testimony. Isn't that true? And if you don't know what yours is, just start thinking about it. Write it out. And then consolidate it so that you have something to share with others. Because as I said this morning, we're all priests in the kingdom of God. He's called us to be the priesthood of all believers. In verse 111, it says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And you know what? Just my appetite of seeing God do incredible healings, it just stirs me to want more. And I want to tell you some of those healings because it's not about me. I'll tell them a little bit later. I want to stir faith in your heart that you will believe God, that God is a good God and he wants to do the same. He's not a respecter of persons. But as 1 Samuel 17, David takes some bread and cheese up to his brothers who are standing off against the Philistines. And for 40 days, Goliath would come down and challenge the people of God and say to them, hey, just send out one of your fighters, and if I beat him, you'll become our slaves, and if he beats me, we'll become your slaves. And it says the people of Israel were fearful. And David, a young boy, coming into the camp, his brothers were irritated with him because they heard him asking questions of what would be the benefits for the person that killed Goliath. The eldest brother thought he was arrogant. Told him, you just go home and tend the sheep. You're just here to want to watch this war. But word spread, and Saul heard what he was asking, and Saul called for him to come. And when Saul met with him, David said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I'm willing to go out and fight him. And then David proceeds to tell Saul of how he killed a bear that came and stole one of his father's sheep. And he went out and took the sheep back from the bear and he killed the bear. And how he'd killed a lion and took the sheep back from the lion's mouth as well. What did he do? He was giving testimony to how God had used him in the past and it built faith in Saul's heart. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. You see, when we share testimonies, it stirs faith in people's hearts to dare to believe that God can do that for me because he is not a respecter of persons. Hebrews 2, verse 4 says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, this portion is not speaking about Jesus because it spoke about this same thing in Acts 2:22. But it left off the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they only came after the Holy Spirit came and was poured out among those in the upper room. So God is speaking to you and I today and says, I want to testify with you. The scripture says, if we're a believer, we can lay hands on the sick and we need to expect them to recover. It says, if you're an elder, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. They will anoint you with the oil and the prayer of faith will raise you up. What do? We generally tell a best friend and hope the word gets back to the pastors and maybe we'll get a visit. We should be calling the elders of the church before we call a doctor. That's kingdom culture. That we expect God loves his children enough to touch them. God testifying with us. And sometimes when we pray, God just does things. I remember praying for a blind man in Mauritius. He hadn't even been able to open his eyes for 5 years. He was 80 years old. He had lost his vision through his diabetes, and he couldn't open his eyelids at all. And we just prayed and said, Lord Jesus, won't you just heal his eyes? And his eyes just popped open. I was more surprised than he was. I'm being honest with you now. And then we tested him. How many fingers are we holding up? He could tell us exactly. What color is this? And he had such a smile on his face. That's the God that we serve. See, God doesn't really need us. He just says, I'm going to testify with you. You just obey what I say. I was in America, and generally a lot of times in America, I don't see a lot of miracles and healings. But I was in Joe Cano's church, and he had a man. The guy had gangrene, and the doctors had been treating his foot for 6 months. And they just told him on the Friday that the following week they were going to have to amputate his foot. It was black. It was stinky. It was a mess. If he didn't have it amputated, he would probably, the sickness would go. He would lose his whole leg or his life. So he's brought up to the front to be prayed for on the Sunday. And every day at 1 p.m., a nurse would come, change his bandage. And I spoke to him after I prayed. I said, you know, I just prayed a simple prayer. You see, Jesus said, just heal the sick. He didn't say give a long discourse. He says, in fact, he says, don't be like the Pharisees who like to pray long prayers. He never told us to just spend how much time we spend in prayer. I believe we're trying to twist God's arm. Job 22, verse 28 says, this, that you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. And this is what I want to say to you. If God gives insight to you or gives revelation through a word of knowledge or a gift of the Spirit and shows you what he wants to do, it requires you to verbalize it before the Holy Spirit can go to work. You see, when you look in Genesis 1 and 2, it talks about the earth was without form, it was void, it was dark, and it says the Holy Spirit was hovering. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is hovering. It is with us. It is here tonight, hovering, waiting for God to a commissioning by us for what God wants to do. And I just said to him, today when the nurse takes off your bandage, she's going to be shocked. That was at 12:30. 1:30, he calls, and he's weeping to the pastor. He said, when she took off the bandage today, she couldn't believe it. My foot wasn't black. It didn't smell anymore. It was pink like a baby's foot. That's the goodness of our God. Now, what I realized, I can't heal anybody. But God wants to create testimonies through us. A guy in that same church, he'd had a stroke. He had to walk holding on to somebody and with a cane. When we prayed for him, he threw away his cane. He ran around the church. We had three nights of meeting. He just, every night, he'd be running around the church, jogging. Because why? He was just enamored with the goodness of God, of what God had done. You see, God wants to use us in unusual ways because he loves people. I was on a flight from Exeter, England to Edinburgh. And I'd just flown from Cork, Ireland to Exeter. And I was in seat 2B, but 2B was the front row of the plane. Well, what I didn't realize when I changed airlines, that 2B was the second row on that airline. So I sat in the first row. And a lady comes in and sits next to me. And after a little bit, she goes, she sees I'm reading the book of Job. And she says, oh, that's one of my favorite pieces of literature. I said, oh, that's great. She goes, oh, are you an American? I go, yes. She goes, did you just fly over from America now? I said, no. I'm on my way to Edinburgh to do meetings. I've just come from South Africa. She goes, oh, I used to live in South Africa. I go, really? She goes, yes. I lived in a Christian community. I go, really? I used to live in one too. She goes, I lived in East London in a Christian community. I said, really? That's the same community I used to live in. She goes, what's your name? I tell her my name. She goes, I've heard of you. So I go, what's your name? She tells me I'd heard of her too, but I didn't tell her. You see, the reason why is that she was the personal assistant to the director of that ministry. She left her husband and family, took off with a friend of mine in Johannesburg, and they moved to Exeter, England, and they lived together for 5 years, then they just went their separate ways. But 25 years had elapsed, and God creates a faux pas on my part because he loves that woman so much that he created a fix to fix her. I just told her about the good things I saw God doing here. She didn't talk to me for the last 15 minutes of the flight. And when I got up to get off the plane, she tapped me on the shoulder and she says, you know, today you've stirred faith in my heart. I've got some skeletons in my closet in South Africa, and you've put faith in my heart to deal with them. You see, I don't want to control anybody, but I want to influence everybody. I want to influence them of a good God. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. People know how bad they are. They just need to know how good God is. I remember I was in Mexico, Cunetara, about 3 hours out of Mexico City, doing a leadership conference for about 1,000 leaders. And the Lord just says, I want to heal deaf ears tonight. So I asked the people, if you're deaf, they couldn't hear me. Somebody had to tell them. Stand up. There were 9 people that stood up. You know what? I just prayed a blanket prayer. You know what? God healed all of them. They ran to the front to give testimony. It was I've had 2 occasions in ministry where everybody got healed I prayed for. That's where I'm hoping to hit and get every time. Everybody gets healed. I don't know why some people don't get healed, but I have a responsibility to pray for them. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So what are we to take out of this evening? What's our application? Let's use testimonies as a weapon against the enemy. He hates to hear the good things that God does. 2, let's remind the next generation of our testimonies. And if you don't have any, get some. Let's allow our testimonies to stir hope in others' hearts that God will touch them as well. Let's be all overcomers by our testimony. You see, our focus is to become what God's ordained us to be. Most of us end up just living in our process. But God wants us to go through the process so that we can be overcomers, to talk of the goodness of God that we serve. Let's build a platform for God to repeat the miraculous by our testimonies. Everyone can have a testimony. The last one is, the problem is this. If you don't know Jesus, you won't have a testimony. Because our testimony only comes through Christ. Christ.